Hello, and welcome to our online press conference. I'm Tom Pelton, Director of Communications for the Environmental Integrity Project. We're a nonprofit organization that works as America's environmental watchdog, holding polluters and governments accountable to protect public health and the environment. Today, we are releasing a new report, A Pollution Footprint the Size of Texas: The Lone Star State's Gas Plant Boom. You can find the report here on our website at www.environmentalintegrity.org. Today, we're going to have five speakers and then open it up to questions from reporters. Reporters, as you listen to the presentations, if you have a question, please make a note by clicking on the Q&A function at the bottom of your screen. Then I'll call on you and unmute you to speak. And then you also have to remember to unmute yourselves to ask your question. But we'd love to have your questions, so be thinking of those as we go along. Our four speakers, five speakers today will be Griffin Bird, author of the report and research analyst at the Environmental Integrity Project. Then we're going to have Patton Dykus, attorney and associate director of the Environmental Integrity Project's Clean Air Program. Next, we'll have Dave Cortez, director of the Sierra Club's Lone Star Chapter. Next, Adrian Shelley, Texas Director of Public Citizen. And finally, Cheryl Stratton, a Hood County, Texas resident fighting a gas plant in her backyard. So for our first speaker will be Griffin Bird, author of the report and research analyst with the Environmental Integrity Project. Go ahead, Griffin.
Thanks, Tom. So as Tom said, my name is Griffin Bird. I am the main researcher and author behind this new report at the Environmental Integrity Project. So it took several months to put this report together. It started out with the concept of wanting to create an inventory of proposed gas power plants in Texas to make publicly available to give people an idea of what kind of power plants are being proposed for the state, where they'd be located, what kind of pollution impacts they could have. So that's something we've also made available today, an inventory of these power plants along with a map. And of course, that's the foundation we use to produce this report. So just to give people top line findings from the report, in total, we have identified 130 proposed gas power plants in the state of Texas. 108 of these would be new facilities built on previously undeveloped land. 17 of them would be expansions of existing facilities, and there's five where we couldn't immediately identify whether they'd be new or expansion projects. In total, these facilities could cumulatively generate over 58 gigawatts of electricity. And in terms of pollution impacts, we estimate that annually they could emit over 115 million metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent annually. This would be coming from a state that's already suffering from climate change. Is we've got our partners from Texas here. They can testify to it, but a state that's already seeing longer, hotter, drier summers, more extreme weather. So the last thing that Texans need is more greenhouse gas pollution to make the effects of climate change even worse. At a local scale, we also used permit applications to identify potential emissions of pollution that could impact local air quality, things like nitrogen oxides, volatile organic compounds, fine particulate matter. In total, of the 45 gas power plants where we had permit information, we were able to estimate that in total they would be able to emit up to 4,000 tons of fine particulate matter annually. This is a pollutant that affects people's health. It can cause cardiac issues. And we also found that they could emit over 8,000 tons of nitrogen oxides and 4,000 tons of volatile organic compounds. These two pollutants react together to form ground level ozone, which is the main component in smog. A lot of the proposed plants are in and around the greater Houston area. And something we also looked at is whether or not these proposed plants would be located in areas that are considered in non-attainment for ozone or fine particulate matter, standards set by the Environmental Protection Agency. And of the proposed plants where we have exact location information, at least 14 of them would be located in an area that's considered in non-attainment for ozone or preliminary non-attainment with the EPA's new standard for fine particulate matter. Like I said before, we drew information for this report from Clean Air Act permit applications and permit documents. That's something we tracked closely as we created this inventory and report. And as we went through permit information and kept track of things like application date, time to get a final permit from application, we noticed that in several cases, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality is issuing the wrong kinds of permits for these proposed gas power plants. They're issuing weaker permits, even for large sources of air pollution, when instead, under the Clean Air Act, they're obligated to issue more stringent permits requiring more pollution controls for these larger sources of air pollution. So for more on that and for the legal side of things, I'm going to hand it off to my colleague, Patton Dykus.
Thanks very much. That was Griffin Bird, author of the report and research analyst with the Environmental Integrity Project. Next, we have Patton Dykus, attorney and associate director of the Environmental Integrity Project's Clean Air Program. Go ahead, Patton.
Thanks so much, Griffin. In the past year, TCEQ has unlawfully rubber stamped the air pollution permits for at least three large new gas-fired power plants without the stringent limits and public hearings required by the Federal Clean Air Act. Since the beginning of last year, 2024, the commission, TCEQ, has permitted at least two dozen plants as minor sources of air pollution, new gas-fired power plants. At least three of these plants are, instead of being minor sources as TCEQ has permitted them, are instead of major sources of air pollution because they have the ability to emit at least 250 tons per year of a single air pollutant. Likely others of these two dozen plants that TCEQ is permitted in the last couple of years are also major sources of air pollution. The three plants that we identified that TCEQ has wrongly permitted include plants in Nueces County near Corpus Christi, in Austin County, which is west of Houston, and in Wharton County, which is southwest of Houston. Each of these three plants is a large power plant. They're at least 900 megawatts in capacity, ability to generate electricity. And all three of these plants are major sources, meaning they have the ability to emit at least 250 tons per year of both carbon monoxide and nitrogen oxides. And in addition, one of these plants is made a major source for particulate matter or soot. And Griffin talked a bit about the health impacts of these pollutants. In particular, for these two plants near Houston, it's especially problematic that they are major sources of nitrogen oxides, which can, together with volatile organic compounds, combine to form ozone. The fact that TCEQ is rubber stamping these permits is shown by how quickly the agency or the commission is granting the approvals. In the case of one of these permits, the commission granted the application the day after it was submitted, for another one, 5 days after it was submitted, and for the third, a month after it was submitted. The Federal Clean Air Act requires that major sources of air pollution, like these three we identified, meet stricter limits than minor sources of air pollution. In addition, major sources must analyze their impacts on air quality, more particularly, make sure that they do not cause violations of the Environmental Protection Agency's air quality standards. In addition, four major sources of air pollution, state permitting authorities must provide public notice and the ability for the public to weigh in on the permits and provide public hearings as well. TCEQ didn't do that this for any of the three permit or any of the three plants that we identified. We pointed out these problems in an April 28th letter that we sent to TCEQ and to EPA. Since then, we haven't heard a peep from either of the agencies. TCEQ must immediately stop this unlawful permitting of these new large gas-fired power plants as minor sources of air pollution. In addition, TCEQ must revoke the permits that were unlawfully issued and repermit them. Lastly, I just want to point out that as we identified or spoke about in our letter to TCEQ and EPA, these three plants that we focused on, in addition, likely others, are also major sources of air toxics, in particular formaldehyde. As major sources of this carcinogen, they're required to meet stricter limits that EPA has established nationally for combustion turbines, but TCEQ isn't requiring any of these plants to meet those stricter limits for this air toxic. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Patton Dykus, attorney and associate director of the Environmental Integrity Project's Clean Air Program. Next, we have Dave Cortez, director of the Sierra Club's Lone Star Chapter. Go ahead, Dave.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Patton. Thanks, Griffin. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Texas is rolling out the red carpet for AI and big tech, and it's everyday working Texans who are going to foot the bill. Under the leadership of Governor Greg Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, and with their embrace of the AI and crypto industries, Texans should expect to see not just higher monthly utility bills, but increases in local air pollution, as we've just heard. Pollution that triggers asthma and increases the number of ozone action days we see in places like Houston, San Marcos, and other major metro areas around the state. If you have kids that are sensitive to air pollution and hot days and hazy days, this is a big problem for them. Governor Abbott, Dan Patrick, and the Texas legislature have chosen to set aside billions of taxpayer dollars from the Texas Energy Fund to subsidize new, polluting, expensive gas power plants, many of which will be used to meet the soaring energy demand for AI and crypto facilities around the state. Instead of investing in low-cost, reliable power sources that have kept our lights on, like energy conservation, demand response, and clean energy, Governor Abbott, Dan Patrick, and the legislature have chosen to give a taxpayer handout to big gas in support of big tech like AI and crypto. Failed fossil fuels supported by failed state leaders led to our grid collapse in 2021 and have contributed to the rise in extreme weather that has shocked so many of us throughout the state, from Harlingen and the record rainfall to Houston and the folks who dealt with the derecho and the hurricane, to folks in Amarillo and the tragic windstorms, and recently here in Austin with the extreme weather that knocked out power for several days for tens of thousands of people. Climate change is here, and we're just fueling the crisis even more. And unfortunately, everyday Texans are now subsidizing that crisis, thanks to Greg Abbott and Dan Patrick. Texans are struggling. We're struggling with high bills, hotter temperatures, and little to no support from our state leaders. And we'll continue, this team here and our supporters around the state will continue to organize to keep pressure on our leaders to put everyday Texans first and not big tech like AI and crypto.
Thanks very much. That was Dave Cortez, director of the Sierra Club's Lone Star chapter. Reporters, we'd love to get your questions at the end. And to do that, please, as we go along here, use the Q&A tab at the bottom of your screen. Type in either I have a question or type in your question. Keep those, get those in there so that we can call on people at the end and get your questions answered. Next, we're going to have Adrian Shelley, the Texas Director of Public Citizen. Go ahead, Adrian.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you, everyone, for being here. This is just not the strategy that Texas needs. Let's not forget, Texas is already number one in clean energy, wind, solar, and battery storage. These are the strategies that are working for Texas. 90% of the energy that we've installed since Winter Storm Uri is in these clean sources. Our grid is becoming more reliable, and energy is staying cheap in Texas. And that is thanks to these sources of energy in combination with the wide diversity of energy that we already have here in Texas. We need to keep doing what's working for the state. We also need to invest in strategies that will cut energy usage. Talking about things like demand response, energy efficiency, and identifying energy waste. These are strategies that save Texans money on electricity bills. They're cheaper to implement, and they can be started on today. This is in contrast to gas plants, which take years to build, which, as we've heard, add to our climate change problem and contributes to ozone pollution and other public health crises in our state. Bottom line, communities do not want gas plants. Public Citizen, as an organization that works with people to help them assert their rights in the permitting process, we talk again and again to communities who do not want to see a gas plant open in their communities. Let's not forget that the Texas Energy Fund, even though it's more than 2 years old at this point, hasn't generated a single megawatt of electricity. Gas plants are expensive, they take years to build, and so far, there haven't been any built or generating electricity in Texas. So we're calling on our state leadership to ditch the all gas, no brakes strategy, ditch the gas plants, and invest in wind, solar, battery storage, and cutting energy waste. And finally, we're calling our state regulators to stop stunting the law by issuing us both permits. We have major sources of pollution like gas plants. Communities have a say in that process. We have rights, and we want to assert those rights. So let's give companies their voice, and let's ditch strategies that aren't working for Texas. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Adrian Shelley, Texas Director of Public Citizen. Before our final speaker today, reporters, use the Q&A function at the bottom of your screen. Type in if you have a question, type in a little note there saying you have a question, and then we can answer your questions following our final speaker, which is Cheryl Shadden, a registered nurse who lives in Hood County, south of Fort Worth, who's fighting a gas power plant in her neighborhood for a data center. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Hello, thank you for having me here today. I'm Cheryl Shadden. I live in Granbury, Texas, which is in Hood County. I live in an area directly across the street from two gas power plants and a third gas power plant. I've been here for approximately 30 years, long before these gas power plants came in. I myself am impacted by this, and so is my community. We see clouds of pollutants rolling across the ground towards our homes. We have respiratory distress, shortness of breath, GI disturbances. Our property values have plummeted. We really are struggling here. And now we have a third gas power plant on the way that we're trying to combat. This is a real problem. No community needs to go through this, not our community nor any other community throughout Texas. I would like to see some legislators absolutely care about the community and do something with green energy that doesn't harm consumers in the community. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Now we're going to open it up to questions from reporters. So reporters, use the Q&A function at the bottom of your screen to type in a question or say, I have a question. And our first question is from Mose Bushel, a reporter with KUT Public Radio in Austin. Mose, I'm going to unmute you and unmute yourself as well and ask your question. Unmute yourself as well, Mose.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, great. Go ahead.
I guess some of this might be covered in the methodology that y'all. I'm sorry, I missed the first part of this. I imagine you're going to send out the report and more information via email. But I'm kind of we hear two different things about the Texas Energy Fund. We hear that it may jumpstart the construction of all these new gas power plants. But we also hear that it has failed in attracting a lot of interest, and that in fact some projects are backing out. And I'm just kind of curious what degree of certainty, or you might have about how many of these new plants that you looked at, are likely to come online. Whether that was a consideration, or how you kind of looked at that question.
Griffin Bird of EIP, do you want to try that one?
Yeah, so I think first on the Texas Energy Fund, I think we're of the opinion that it's certainly not a thriving program. They're struggling to keep projects from withdrawing, struggling to prevent developers from staying in the program. They've also denied several applications early on. They had an application that they thought was legitimate and found out that was not the case and had to deny that. But that doesn't, I think it is still such a presence in Texas and behind this boom of gas plants because the state legislature hasn't given up on it. It was already appropriated $5 billion. I don't know if this has been signed yet, but at the end of the latest legislative session, the legislature approved an additional $5 billion for the Texas Energy Fund, giving them $10 billion. Should that be signed by the governor? So it's a struggling program. And like Adrian said, it hasn't generated any electricity yet, but that doesn't mean that the legislature is giving up on it. So we're still going to be dealing with plants that are vying for money from the Texas Energy Fund. And I'm sure we're either going to see more applications or more projects move forward to the more advanced stages of the application process, with that doubled total funding for the Texas Energy Fund. We're not in the report making any judgments as to whether one plant is more likely to come online than another. But I will say that in making this report and creating this inventory, we of course look at statements from companies, look at other databases to determine whether or not these projects are still live. You know, there's lots of databases that track whether these projects are live or canceled or inactive. A lot of the time, these projects can linger and linger for years. And then when there's an opening and the funding's right, they can start to move ahead very quickly. So in the report, we're not trying to make a judgment as to which project is likely and another that's not.
Great.
Miles,
Thank
does that answer
you.
your question? Go ahead. Okay.
Hello?
Go ahead, Mose. Any follow-ups?
My only other question off the top of my head was just about these three larger plants that were mischaracterized in their permitting. Is there will you be you named the counties they're located. I imagine there will be further information about what those projects exactly are in case we have. We request comment as well from TCEQ to, to have some more detail on what those projects are.
You know, as part of our report, you can click on it. It's on our website, www.environmentalintegrity.org. I'll also email you a copy after this, Mose. But we have a map and a database that Griffin put together where you can look at specifics for all these projects. Griffin, any more details on that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I think any detail you could be looking for would be included in the report. We have a section where we mention it in text, these three plants by name that Patton was talking about, but there's a lot of detail in the underlying data that we've also made publicly available. I think everything you need should be available in the report already.
Yeah, we have a whole inventory. It's a spreadsheet as well as a data map with lots of details. All right, next we have a question from Joe Fassler. Joe, I'm going to unmute you on my end and then unmute yourself as well. Joe, are you a writer for The Atlantic?
I'm covering this piece for DSMOG.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So maybe the map, which I'm just starting to look through now, will help to clear this up. But the report makes much of the emerging demand for electricity from data centers. And I'm wondering, what kind of evidence do we have that the kind of growth of these kinds of plants in Texas is specifically related to that form of energy demand. I guess that's the first part of the question. And then the second part is, do we know that any of the three you mentioned that have been apparently permitted unlawfully have specific links to a data center or are planned for that kind of use?
Griffin Bird, where are we getting our information that many of these are related to data centers?
So I'll answer the second part of that question first, because I'm not sure if we, I don't think for those three power plants that we mentioned, there's any indication that I've seen that they could be used to power data centers. But again, that's just not, it could change in the future, but at least in the application documents and statements that we've seen so far, those three plants that Patton mentioned that we contend were permitted unlawfully, I'm not aware of any potential distribution of that electricity to data centers. It's hard to link a specific gas power plant to a specific data center. There are cases, and we have these in the inventory, at least three projects that we know because the developer has said, or there's other articles online that they plan to be, if not exclusively, provide almost all of their power to data centers and provide, you know, what's known as behind the meter power, where they're exclusively powering data centers. But thus far in the inventory, we've not been tracking the targeted end use of the gas power plant projects. I think what we're mentioning so much in the report is just that estimates for the expected demand from data centers is just exploding. Estimates provided by the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, the Electric Power Research Institute. So the linkage is there for some of the gas power plant projects that they're looking to power data centers, but that's something that I think we hope to add in the future, more as to whether or not a particular project is expecting to provide power to data centers.
All right. Any more questions
Got
from
it.
reporters?
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. If you have a question, raise your hand. Adrian Shelley, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Just wanted to echo that answer and point out, the demand projections, right? So, for example, there's a projection by ERCOT of as much as 65 gigawatts of new demand by the end of the decade. That is massive growth. And generally speaking, those projections cite AI data centers as among the largest individual sources. We don't have exact data about what's already online, but what we need to tracks, with what we're hearing. Just an example, cryptocurrency mining, there's estimates of about 2,400 megawatts already on the grid there. There are projections of tens of gigawatts of further demand just in that industry. To take a more specific example, CPS Energy, the municipal utility in San Antonio, which is among the entities that has applied for TEF funding and has gas plant projects in the list that EIP has identified, CPS has specifically cited demand growth of as much as 1 gigawatt is specifically in data centers on the north side of town. So the examples that we do show specific projects of very large scale are data center AI projects.
All right. Any further questions from reporters? If you have a question, we'd love to have it. Either raise your hand using the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen or the Q&A button. Click on that and type in, I have a question, and I'll call on you. Last call for questions from reporters. Okay. Well, if you do have any follow-ups, feel free to call me, Tom Pelton, at 443-510-2574, or email me at tpelton@environmentalintegrity.org. Happy to send you any additional information you need. The report is available on our website at www.environmentalintegrity.org. Thanks to everyone for taking the time to help with our event today, and have a wonderful afternoon.